morning, sisters and brothers, friends and neighbors. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I want to welcome you today to our wonderful worship podcast. It's a unique and exciting way that we come together to worship and to share the love we have for one another and for our Creator God. So take a minute now and go grab a cup of coffee and get ready, because we're on our way to worship, to coming together, even though we can't right now be together. But God calls us nonetheless into a time of worship and celebration. So join us now as we enter into our call to worship.
Call to worship. Come, let us cease our worship of the things of the world. We do not need them. Let us lay aside our desire for wealth. Let us step away from our yearning for control. Let us turn from the power of this world so that we may fully embrace and fully worship our God, the God of creation, God of love, and the God who comes to us in Christ Jesus. Come, let us worship together.
To confession. Now is the moment when we are called to speak truth before God. This is not a telling that seeks to inform God, for God already knows it all. No, this is a telling that reaches into a new level of self-awareness as we get clear with ourselves and with God about our brokenness and our insistence on straying from the path of Jesus. Come, let us confess before God.
Prayer of confession. Holy and marvelous God, we come before you this day with a deepening awareness of our lives and our actions. We know and we confess that we do not always speak and act with the power of love. Sometimes, Holy Spirit, we allow ourselves to be motivated not by your holy thirst for justice, but by our own shallow desires. Sometimes, Lord Jesus, we allow ourselves to be overcome by anxiety, cynicism, and fear. And when this happens, God, we are nowhere near the path that you had laid out for us in Christ Jesus. Call us back, we pray. Forgive us for our wandering minds and hearts. Have mercy on us for our never-ending selfishness. Bring us anew to the challenge and joy of building your Christian community in this place, and push us into the future with a renewed sense of love and hope. We ask this and pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Forgiveness breaks the cycle of wrong. Forgiveness is at the very core of our resurrection values. Forgiveness frees both the forgiven and the forgiver. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are indeed forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Reading from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. And this is reading.
This is the second reading from the scriptures, from Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles who he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward the heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
Sisters and brothers, it's a joy to be with you today. Would you take a minute and pray with me as we prepare to unpack the sacred text? Let's pray. Wonderful and magnificent God, we gather before you with grateful hearts. We gather before you as ones who seek to travel together into lives of faithfulness and joy, wonder, and new beginnings. And as we explore the text today, may the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, God, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. To you and to you alone do we owe our allegiance. Amen. So I wanted to share with you this morning that I have memories of when our kids were little, we would head out in our beat-up old station wagon to drive from New York City way to upstate New York, where we had a little cabin that I had built as a young guy with my dad. It was near his retirement home, and boy, we rejoiced to be able to have that extended family time and miss it still. But the trip north, though, was about a four and a half hour drive, and every time we would hit a point in the journey, and the kids would start asking us, Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then, of course, they're twins, so they would get the twin energy thing going, you know, right? And they would start chanting in unison over and over again, Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And they'd put rhythms in it, and even some harmonies, and they just would keep going, with a certain youthful glee, knowing full well they were driving their parents just a little bit crazy. I mean, obviously, we weren't there yet, and with the vagaries of rest stops, traffic jams, and occasional mechanical issues, we couldn't tell them precisely when we would arrive. And that, my friends, not knowing when they would arrive, drove the kids crazy. They wanted, they needed, to have some sense of when the destination would be reached, some sense of when things were going to play out and they could jump from the car into the arms of their waiting grandfather. Are we there yet? And then there's a time when I was also younger, when I joined a group of pastors who were driving medical supplies from New York City to war-torn Nicaragua, and it was a long journey, more than a month on the road. And I'm not sure when, but there was a point along the way when our collective sense of things stopped being about getting to Central America, and we began to live into this amazing journey we were taking together. We began to drink in the sights, to enjoy the people we met, the food and the scent of the air. It was a beautiful thing once we stopped letting go of getting where we thought we ought to be. Now, I think of these snapshots from my own life every time I read this scripture that was so powerfully shared today. You know, the story we heard has Jesus, quote-unquote, presenting himself alive to the disciples and impressing them with many convincing proofs. And then Jesus tells them that they will be baptized not merely with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the followers of Jesus, of course, they cannot help themselves, you know. They're like the kids in the car. They say, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of God, the kingdom to Israel? Or to quote my kids, are we there yet? And Jesus essentially tells them, well, you don't get to know that part. But you will receive the Holy Spirit power, and you will be my witnesses over all the earth. Are we there yet? Will you restore the kingdom? Like those kids bouncing off the back seats in the station wagon, the disciples are not particularly fond of the journey. They want to know, are they there yet? Have they made it? And Jesus steadfastly refuses to answer them in a way that they would like. And then the story has it that he is lifted up on a cloud and he disappears. And it would seem that they are not necessarily there yet. But it also seems that the destination really isn't the point any longer, is it? They, like that raggedy bunch of pastors driving to Central America, came to a God-given conclusion that it is the journey that is their home. It's the journey that is the home. I mean, another way of describing that, you know, is that in our society, the ethic that reigns supreme is one that kind of runs this kind of narrative, that the ends justifies the means. And anyway, if our goal is important enough, it kind of doesn't matter what we do to get there, right? You know, at the end of the day, if the goal is good, well, you know, how you got there isn't that important. I'm not saying the goals aren't important. They are. But friends, if the goal becomes so important that we violate who we are to get there, then the goal is meaningless. In fact, it's worse than meaningless. It's destructive. However, Jesus, in not answering the question, gives them a new ethic. And that is that for us, the ends never justify the means. For us, the means are the ends. How we live, how we witness each and every day, how we faithfully follow the pathway of Jesus is the whole point. It's knowing that every day and every way, each act and every word are the whole point of us and our discipleship. I mean, you know, think about the lives we lead. I mean, most of us have goals we try to achieve, right? But for us, the end point of the goal always takes a back seat to our process. I mean, if we hurt people reaching our goal, no good. If we abandon our love, forgiveness, and grace for the rigor of chasing some goal, no good. If we deny the power of love in our daily lives, friends, we deny Jesus himself. So what about us? Most of you know that we've been working on putting together some goals for our church so that we have a sense of where we're going as the days march forward. But those goals are never more important than the kind words we say to one another right now. Those goals are never more significant than the call we have to forgive and care for one another. Those goals are never more important than us being truthful and loving to one another. Friends, it's my deepest prayer that this new chapter in the life of Petaluma United Methodist Church will lead to vitality, growth, and missional success. But if I thought for a moment that we would sacrifice the gentle, loving nature of this community in pursuit of that goal, I'd say forget it. It's not worth it. Jesus says in the 8th chapter of Mark, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world? In other words, to achieve one's worldly goals, and only to lose your own soul, or literally your life. There is no victory for us if we surrender who we are to get someplace we think we ought to be. This is why it's so completely important to be abundantly clear about who we are and the journey that we're on together. Let me outline it a little for you. We are a people of love. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are a people of forgiveness and grace. It clarifies and defines us. We are a people who put relationships first. Relationships with God and one another, for we believe them to be intertwined. We are a people who have each other's backs, who strive to make it safe for all to come here and try to follow the way of Jesus alongside us as partners. We are a people of joy. We are a people of new life. I know, it's a long list, and there is more, but we may not trade any of this away for some imagined goal of growth or institutional survival. We dare not, sacrifice the power of love for any other kind of power. In other words, as I think about those kids in the back seat of that old Ford station wagon, I have to say that I could have told them, I should have told them, that we are there. It's just that most of us didn't expect that the journey is the destination. The journey finally, and always will be, our home. So friends, let's travel together, remembering who we are. Let's sojourn as pilgrims in a strange land, practicing our faith as we go. And let us always put love first, for we know that God is love, and we know that when we love, we participate in the reality of God. So yes, yes, and yes, we are there. And the destination is to be found in each step, each word, each action we take in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Wonderful God, we come together to pray as your community. God, in a world and in a nation rampant with narcissistic individualism, we seek to crack the barriers of that with the power of what it means to be community. We seek to unite together in heart and mind, to create a world where everyone has enough, to create a world where there is enough to eat, where there are houses for all to live in, to create a world where love reigns. God, we gather in prayer this day to pray for the community that strives for this, to pray for this church, to pray for the whole church. God, as we pray, we know we're not a perfect community. We know that we stray and stumble. We know that we slip up and say and do the wrong things. And we we ask for your forgiveness. And God, we know too that each of us has our own distinct journey. As much as we seek to be community, a community is a patchwork quilt made up of individuals who give their lives for one another. And so we know that each one of us comes to this journey together, God. Some of us are tired, some are sore, some are wounded, some are grieving, some are so tired they can't even see tomorrow, God. And we ask that you pour your spirit out on each one of us. God, where we are tired, give us strength. Where we are frustrated, God, give us patience and calm. And in all of it, God, we ask a sense of your powerful accompaniment as we seek to be faithful in this new day. And so we pray this prayer of hope, this prayer of celebration at being your community, and this prayer of quiet, loving, and gentle obedience to the law of love. And so we go praying, praising, and singing in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami mailo malangi, me varoro taikine dhamuni, me adhamaina nomuni matintu, me dhagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa dhaga mailo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa dhagadala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere, kamuni vambule ike mami maina dha, nisa nomuni na matinitu, kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Friends, now is the time in our worship life where we pause to return a portion of the blessings that God has showered upon us for the work of ministry in this church. God, we do a great deal with the gifts that you all give. And we're grateful for them. And we do all kinds of things from sharing in homeless ministries to making masks to lifting up and teaching. The work we do is growing and expanding, and your gifts make it possible. So there's a lot of ways to give to the church. You can write a check and drop it off at 410 D Street here in Petaluma. You can mail it to the church. Mail your check. You can also go online and donate via our website at www.petalumaumc.org. And now, these days, you can also give through texting. And we're quite excited about that. And there are instructions for that also on our website. However it is you choose to give, know that your gift is appreciated, used wisely, and focused always on the ministry of Jesus Christ. Loving God, we dedicate these gifts to the work of your church, to your love in the world and serving that love with joy and gladness. May these gifts go to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to house the homeless. May it all go to lift up the brokenhearted and to share the word of love, the reality of love, across this wide, wide world. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear these words of benediction. As we go now, let us claim the home ground of this journey in faith. Let us pitch our tents on the pathway to Jesus, and let us have our being as we travel together in the paths of faithfulness, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.